Worship the Lord. Give God praise.
Father, Baba, oh, Baba. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. You provide the fire.
The church to stand.
Sing Baba O.
Against Lord,
open the Amen. 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 Open up your floodgates in abundance. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. All the blessings. All the blessings you have, Lord, just let it rain. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. This month, as we focus on the sub-theme, being a willing servant, I believe I was led by the Lord to share with you from Romans chapter 6, verse 16 to 22, the New Testament lesson that was read. Old Testament lesson is what we are focusing on Bible study. But the New Testament lesson is what I feel led to share with you from. The Lord essentially wants me to ask you one question. The question is, whose servant are you? Whose servant are you? So, Lord, let your word be the blessing that rain in abundance right now. Let it rain and bring change. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting that our sister was led to share before the offering. She prayed for the offering, or she gave thanks for the offering. For our train of thought went along the same line, a line that is related to my own reflection since morning. A reflection that has to do with the kind of atrocities. I use the word deliberately. For it's about not just that which is bad and wicked, but that which is very bad, extremely bad and wicked and terrible. The kinds of atrocities that seem to be a part of the human experience, or the experience we have in the world. And we could go on listing them. She spoke about something that has to do with the kind of brutality, the kind of, I use the word dastardly nature of the killing, really terrible nature. That's one of the murders we see around us. I believe the whole thing of me reflecting in terms of this aspect of the sermon, I try to open the door to the essence of what God wants me to say. Well, things started when I was sent a WhatsApp yesterday. I maybe before, but I didn't look at it. Didn't get to look at it. It's something that we know, but you can believe it, that persons are so hard-hearted and callous and wicked that they will do anything to get money, even if it means you die. And some of the things that has been very prevalent in recent times is what is called fake pharmaceutical products. You go to a legitimate pharmacy to buy, to fill your prescription. And neither you nor the pharmacy know sometimes that what you are getting is fake. And sometimes, as I heard in the message, for very serious illness, the only thing in that medication is chalk and sugar. And you don't know. And think you are taking the right drug. It speaks to the kind of atrocities that are in this world. And then I ask myself the question, what is at the root? What essentially is at the root of these kinds of atrocities? The Spirit of God, I believe, says that these atrocities really have to do with whose servants the people of this world are predominantly. Who most people really serve really is at the heart of the wickedness we see around us. As I think about that, I was led into the text from Romans 6. For Romans 6, in particularly from verse 16 to 22, says that there are two categories of servants, essentially, spiritually speaking. There are those who are servants of sin, will do anything. And those who are servants of righteousness, who are servants of God. As I read it, I believe that this is the passage that begs a question. In fact, I believe this is where the Lord led me as he told me to ask you, whose servant are you? But the passage begs the question. It begs that question, whose servant are you? It doesn't matter if your name is written in church book or not written in church book. It doesn't matter if you call yourself Christian or not Christian. Lord wants me to ask every single person that question. Are you a servant of sin? Or a servant of righteousness, which is a servant of God? I believe that this question, based on our text, is a question about allegiance. A question about allegiance. It's a question about consequence. And a question about common sense. Let's take them. I believe first and foremost is the question about allegiance. And every time I think about it, I still hear this song, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, all that I am. A question of allegiance. All I'm talking about here is, to whom are you obedient? And the passage seems to personalize sin and make sin in a kind of master that controls. And he's asking the question, whose servant are you? And whose servant are you is dependent on who you are committed to in obedience. And that has to do with allegiance. Who are you committed to in terms of your obedience? Who runs your show? Who do you listen to? Who do you allow to determine the things you say, the way you treat people, the way you operate? Whose servant are you? To whom do you pledge allegiance? To who are you committed? To whom are you committed in terms of your obedience? Is it sin who has become your master? Or is it God or righteousness that is your master, that influences you, that leads you, that you obey in terms of your speech and your action? Whose servant are you? You know, let me just say this quickly. That there are really three words that are in the Bible from which the word servant is translated. And I shared it with Bible study on Wednesday. And in the Old Testament, there's a word ebed, E-B-E-D, which is a Hebrew word. It really has to do with obedience. A master to whom you are obedient. In the New Testament, there are two words. There's a word doulos, which is D-O-U-L-O-S. And it speaks about a bond slave. It speaks to the one who you are committed to. The one whose will you do. It's a word that is used in this text. And sometimes the word is translated slave instead of servant. But it really is a word that suggests that when you become that, a servant of somebody, then you really have no say in terms of what is to be done or not. It is dependent on your master's will. I'll leave the next word alone, which is diakonos. It doesn't matter seriously here. But the question is, whose command do you follow? Whose will do you do? You pray all the time, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But is that lip service, or is it really thy will be done? So as you are tested and tried, as you are tempted, which voice do you listen to? Is the voice that leads you to do the wrong thing, the sinful thing, the evil thing, the fleshy thing? Or is the voice that leads you to do good, that which is right and pleasing in the sight of God? It's not only a question of allegiance, it's a question of consequence. For everything that you decide to do comes with a consequence. You know, I remember sharing at Old Dover High where they asked me to share something. And the theme was get it right the first time. The first time. You have to watch that. Watch how you get it wrong and try to fix it. You know, sometimes all of us, if we're not careful, we get it wrong the first time. And then try to fix it. It's not easy to fix. Because even when you say sorry, the scars are still left. You know? Every time I think about this, I think about maybe David, for example. Who did the wrong thing. He was supposed to die, but the Lord spared his life. But he still faced the consequences of his action. I read about him. He still faced the consequences. For the truth is that if you're not careful, even when you are forgiven by the person or you're given by God, that sin comes with consequences. Now, we didn't read verse 23. But I want us to bear in mind what verse 23 says again. Well-known, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That if you are the servant of sin, when sin says jump, you ask how high. When sin says run, you ask how fast. You'll be getting pay one day. And some persons are getting pay right now. For the wages of sin is death. Now, bear in mind that death speaks to not just physical death, but it speaks to those things that become a part of a reality when we are not at one with God and His will. So it speaks to decay. It speaks to disintegration. It speaks to all the wickedness and atrocities we see happening around us. And because so many persons become servants of sin, we see all kinds of dastardly acts, all kinds of atrocities, all kinds of wickedness happening around us. But that's the consequence of sin. Anything that is ugly, anything that is bad, anything that is stagnant, anything that is rotting, anything that is decaying, all of that is associated with that wages, death. And the truth is that we are so dead in many ways already in this world. For there are many who are dead spiritually, we are dead morally, we are dead socially, just waiting to die physically, and there are those who have died long time even before they die physically. Because they continue to be servants of sin. Put up no resistance. You are conscious that what you are doing is the wrong thing. But you are stubborn and stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And the Lord has given you many chances. He has warned you. He has pleaded with you. He has given you dreams, vision. He has given you so many different experiences that cause you to come to the knowledge that what you are doing is the wrong thing. Yet still you continue to. The Lord wants to ask you today, whose servant are you? Remind you that only a matter of time, if it does not stop happening yet, your consequences shall be severe. There can be consequences of this life, but there can be eternal consequences as well. But thank God that while sin has consequences, that God offers a gift through Christ Jesus, which is eternal life. Eternal life which begins now in terms of the quality. For eternal life is not only about quantity, it's about quality. I don't have to do too much explaining for you to understand that. When a person receives Jesus and God begins to live in you, it improves the quality of your life. Rather than darkness, there is light. Rather than corruption and wickedness, there is good. There are wonderful things. Good relationships. There's blessing from God. The gift of God is eternal life, which It is gift because you do not deserve it. You cannot work for it. But as long as you come to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receive that gift which transforms you and improves the quality of our lives individually and collectively. But then, the quality is not temporal. The quality is forever. Eternal life. It leads us to the final thing then. The final thing is a question of common sense. And the Lord wants me to really just end here. A question of common sense. You know, the Lord says to me, reminded me, in thinking about it, that common sense not so common. Common sense not so common. The truth is that there are many persons who have mental intelligence but lack moral and emotional and spiritual intelligence. And there are some very sensible people in this world mentally. But when you look at the things they do, you realize they're very unintelligent morally, emotionally, and worse spiritually. The God offers to us two choices as a make a decision. It's either you're a servant of sin or you're a servant of God. If you're a servant of sin, the consequence is death, moral decay, spiritual decay, and eventually eternal damnation. Does no good to the quality of our life individually and collectively when you are the servant of sin. All we see are the things that are happening. People who are bright in chemistry and physics using their knowledge to make drugs that kill people rather than help people. Moral decay. Death. Because you have made a choice to serve sin. Become servants of sin, therefore servants of wickedness. But then God says to us that there can be a servant of righteousness, which is living right and doing good and doing that which will add to the quality of your life and others' life, making the world a better place for all. But yet still people choose to be servants of sin and continue to jump when sins jump. So rather than be wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in Jesus, there are too many persons who are wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in sin. So you walk as you like, you talk as you like, and you do as you like, and you don't care. But there are consequences to your attitude and your actions. So, the Lord reminds me that maybe the problem in the world is that we don't have enough persons who are servants of righteousness. That's the root of the problem. So, it reminded me the world as 2.1 billion Christians out of a little over 7 billion people. But a lot of those who are counted as Christians are persons that are only nominal Christians. Their names are written in some church book somewhere, but their names are not written in the Lamb Book of Life. They go to church. They have a form of godliness. They sing church songs. They are like the man in Matthew 7 that Jesus speaks to. And it says, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, for you don't belong there. But those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And the man said, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? And in your name, cast out demons. In your name, did many wonderful works. The Lord said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. A lot of persons who are full of iniquity sing God's song and read God's Bible and preach God's sermon and come to church looking nice, well-dressed, well-groomed. But I don't know you, and you maybe don't know anybody like that. The Lord knows every single one of us inside here who is a servant of sin rather than a servant of righteousness. And he's asking you, whose servant are you? Amen. Invite us to stand as we sing in response.